I have a feeling this is going to be a lengthy meeting, so I want to get rolling and not waste any time.
You would think this would all be set up before the meeting.
I'm not going there.
They've probably been busy all day. Hmm?
I know.
I'm sure they have been.
Yeah, we all have, yeah.
Okay. Are we ready to roll, Linda? You're looking.
We're going to try to track down.
We can't hear you, Linda. We can't hear you now.
I can hear her.
We're going to go try to track down Spencer real quick, and then we'll be able to start.
Well, I'm going to start without him. I'm not sure why we have to wait for him to get going and approve minutes. As long as we're recording.
That's true. We're recording and you can start.
Okay. I'm calling meeting to order again. And Dietmar, you want to make your motion?
Yes, I'll move to approve the minutes of 7:16:20 and 10:16:20.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All right, minutes are passed. Now, presentations are next, and of the financials. And for this, it would be nice if Spence were here, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
He has arrived.
There he is.
Okay, there's Spencer. All right, so are we starting with the presentation of the urban renewal report, I guess. We're going to do that one first.
Tanya, I think that's your cue.
Okay, yeah. I was just trying to get it off mute. You know how you gotta love these different platforms. So I'm here to present the City of Newport's Urban Renewal Agency for the June 30, 2021 audit. Our audit was a unmodified or a clean opinion, which is the highest level of a financial statement opinion that we can give on a financial statement. We completed the audit and issued it on January 31st, 2022. The Urban Renewal Agency, we audit is limited to the basic financial statements. We apply limited procedures to the management discussion and analysis, but that is probably one of my favorite parts of the financial statements, just because it has the 2 years of comparative information and explains why there's increases, why there's decreases, those significant changes. So I just like to point that out. There is also, at the end of the Urban Renewal Agency, there's the independent auditor's report on compliance and on internal controls over financial reporting of an audit of financial statements performed in accordance with Oregon state regulations. That is what the Oregon state legislature has asked Oregon municipal auditors to look at. So there's some very specific compliance things. Some of them are kind of finance related, some of them not so much finance related. So for example, ORS 279, which is public purchasing. So when the city goes out and does a large project, that it's been advertised in the paper and everybody has an equal opportunity to bid on it. That there's due process and you go through the process of selecting whoever is going to be the selected contractor. And then once you make that selection, we also even look at like their insurance certificates to make sure that they've named the city on the insurance certificate so that if something were to happen at a construction site or something like that, that the city's covered. So like part of it's finance related because you're paying bills to that contractor, but the rest of it's not exactly finance related. We also look at programs funded from outside sources, so like grants. We also look at Oregon budget law. So yes, the audited financial statements have like the beginning budgets, the like any supplemental or changes to the budgets, and it compares the actuals to the budget amounts and the variances in between those things. But we also look at things, for example, like that the publications were in the newspaper on a timely basis so that the public had an opportunity to come and speak at the budget committee meetings, that it was passed by resolution. So we look at some other stuff that's not just financial related, that the public funds are held in financial institutions that are either have some sort of collateralization policy. So like think FDIC insurance. So if the bank were to collapse up to 250,000 of each type of account, so like checking account, savings account is covered by that. But if the there's more than that 250,000 that's covered by a collateral certificate through the state of Oregon's collateralization program. So we look at things like that. So there's a list of those items in that report. And I'm happy to report that we had no findings for the Urban Renewal Agency for Oregon minimum standards.
Good. Okay.
Does anybody have any specific questions about the agency's financial statements? They are a blended component unit of the city's financial statements, which means that those numbers are presented as a standalone in their own financial statements, but then they are also included in the city's financial statements because they're a part of the overall city
financial. Otherwise known as a component unit?
Yes, it's called a blended component unit because there's also discreetly presented component units, which mean that they're not included in there, but they're shown on like the government-wide, but yeah.
Okay, I thought, yes, okay. So, let's go on to the, go ahead, Dietmar.
So I have a question on that. You asked, when money is spent out of these, out of this account, is it spent through the city or is it separate accounting checkbook or how does that work?
So it's called, they're called funds. So they have their own set of fund accounts. They typically have their own, like, there is one account that's typically separate, which is the local government investment pool for the Urban Renewal Agency or LGIP. But otherwise, the general spending is typically out of the general checking account.
It'll be a City of Newport check is issued then, just the same check as anything else, Spencer?
Mm-hmm. Yep. What we do at budget time is we transfer project funds that have been allocated by the urban renewal budget over to the our capital outlay funds, and the actual expenditure of those funds is done out of our 403, 404, 402, the 400 funds, whatever. The appropriate construction funds are for capital outlay projects.
And that is done by you as the executive director of the Urban Renewal District?
Well, it's authorized by the Urban Renewal Agency as part of their budget. And then right. Yeah, between the finance director and myself, we're authorized to then shift those funds to the appropriate fund and then spend them for the appropriate projects that are being funded by Urban Renewal.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions on the Urban Renewal report? Then let's move, Tanya, to the City of Newport.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, it's all right, things happen.
We all have cell phones right here. Going on with, and my, I have to apologize because I don't know how to turn up. Whenever an email comes on my computer, it dings. And if I so if we hear strange dings, I can't turn it off.
I usually just close my email when I'm in a meeting, so that might.
Well, it is closed. It's, I have it closed. Oh, anyway, okay, moving right along.
So the City of Newport's audited financial statements for June 30, 2021. Our independent auditor's report contains an unmodified or a clean opinion, which is the highest level of a financial statement opinion on the financial statement. Our opinion for the city's financial statements are limited to the basic financial statements and the supplementary information. We applied limited procedures to the management discussion and analysis, as well as in the required supplementary information section, there are some pension schedules and some other post-employment health care benefit schedules, OPEBs, that we do not, we apply limited procedures because some of those years, they're 10-year schedules, some of those years were audited by other auditors. So we apply limited procedures. On the current year information and even last year's information, we audited that stuff, but there's, it's in our report, it says there's limited procedures, and that's what that means. The introductory and statistical section of the report have not been audited by us, and accordingly, we do not express an opinion. We look at it to see if there's something that jumps out to us that's wrong, and we also look to make sure that it agrees with the other information, but we don't technically audit that piece. So that is kind of the information. The other thing you might note on the June 30, 2021 audited financial statements that it has a new title on it. It's called the Annual Comprehensive Financial Report. In prior years, in last year's, it would have been considered the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. That is because the Government Accounting Standards Board determined that the acronym that we were using was derogatory in some countries and some languages. And so we now have a new name for these financial statements. So they are the same. It's just that it has a new name. And so the new acronym is the ACFR. So ACFR, ACFR. Those of us that have been in government finance for a long time, like Spencer and Mike and Steve, you may occasionally hear us refer to the old acronym. This is not because we don't know that it's changed. It's just because it's been that way for our whole career. And so trying to teach old dogs new tricks, we're all working on it. But just so you know, there is a new name, and that is why it has that new name. It is not that we decided to change it or the city decided to change that. That is something that came from the Government Accounting Standards Board. So, and then with the city's financial statements, we also have the report that's required by Oregon state regulations. And we did have a few items on there that we identified. So we had a few funds that exceeded appropriations, which is very common to have that happen, especially when invoices are coming in late. Sometimes with specific funds, it might be because there's a project and you've spent the money, but you haven't got your reimbursement from like a grant or another funding source. So we have a few funds that were over budget categories, and then we did have one fund with a deficit budgetary fund balance, and that was the government GO debt service fund, and that was a very small amount, but occasionally that happens. We just identify that for you guys. Okay. Does anybody have any questions on the minimum standards report or the city's financial statements? I can go over specific pieces.
The only comment I have is I was kind of surprised in the year of the pandemic that we increased the net position of the city by $5.6 million. Well, less the change in accounting principle, I guess, of $800,000. But I just think that's kind of amazing that.
Yeah, I was amazed that the end fund balances were increased by $3 million.
And what was quite astounding is that the unrestricted fund balance increased position by $1,353,000. So So our unrestricted fund balance is now only $698,000 in the hole. I don't know how you guys did that, but kudos to you. You saved a lot of money, I think.
Yeah, I think a number of things happened during COVID. One is we have 40 vacancies in the city, part-time and full-time vacancies. That makes a huge difference on our bottom line when we can't hire people to fill positions. The second thing is we did get our CARES Act funding, which helped helped replace some funding. And I can't remember how much CARES Act was in this fiscal year.
1.0.
Mike?
I think it was zero in this year.
But we would have carried over. That would have impacted kind of the our financial situation in this fiscal year. What's that?
The airport has
Yeah, there
was 152,000 of expenditures in CARES in coronavirus relief.
And then we made some pretty serious cuts as well in preparation for COVID. Yeah. And so that and the other thing that was very significant, we made significant cuts in our room tax, our transient room tax, in the budget. That recovered well beyond any expectations during the course of the year. So that combination of things definitely put us in a stronger position. And with our success in filling vacancies right now, we'll probably see some more funds accruing in this fiscal year as well that aren't going to be spent. So,
well, it does look a lot better bottom line than it had been looking in the past, so it helps.
Someday the chickens are going to come back to roost, though, I tell you.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Yes. Any other comments?
I think the city finance, you guys have been doing a great job financially.
I was really impressed.
And working through a very minimal staff, not minimal, but
and overworking the minimum staff, I think, probably.
Reduced staff, yeah.
Well, and the amount of time and effort that it takes to put together, like, the statistical section, I mean, that's 10 years worth of historical information, and that stuff is not all stuff that the city has on hand, because it's not all coming from the city. Some of it's coming from the county, some of it's coming from the state. It takes a lot of time to actually gather all that information for the statistical section as well.
True.
Yep. No, I want to thank Mike, who has deserted us. He's a little bit further east on Highway 20 right now, Mike certainly has done a very solid job in getting us to the point of having a CAFR and so we really, really appreciate that, Mike. And have we heard anything on whether we're going to win an award on the CAFR from the previous year, or is that still in GASB land?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Faintly.
Just barely.
Yeah,
faintly.
It's not a good connection. Last I heard, it's in the review stage, so God knows what that means. Before I left, I contacted Gatsby and told him Steve would be the contact. So somebody's going to find out about it shortly. I don't know. It could be 3 months. It could be a month. It could be 3 months. I don't know. So I don't know.
Okay. Could
you tell me what that award is? I'm not familiar.
It's Cynthia, we submit the CAFR. The annual financial report to GASB to their excellence in reporting program, and you have to the financial statement increases by two statements, the letter of transmittal, which Spencer puts together, then the statistical section that Tanya talked about earlier. Otherwise, it's all pretty much the same financials, but those two. And this goes to GASB, and it takes them about 6 months to review it, to get it through their system. With the advent of COVID, it kicked it out maybe a year. So I submitted it, I think, in May or June of last year So we should see something. I don't know when. I mean, that's just it. I don't know when.
But the
bankers use this particular financial statement for their bond ratings of us. They go in and look at our information. The annual financial report, I don't know what to call the new acronym yet, is standardized. So they can go to each, you know, they can have five CAFRs on their table. They're all going to be laid out the same way. They'll get the same information. So that's why you do it that way. But you got to follow a script that they give you. And it's pretty lengthy. So last I heard, it was like 1,000 different points in the book that you have to hit to get the award. But it's pretty lengthy. It's a process that's not easy to set up, but once you get it going, it's easy to keep it going. But it's like Tanya said, the information's all over the place and you got to chase it down. So that was the hard part, chasing the data down each year.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Sorry,
go ahead.
Got to be a shout out to Steve too for this. I think Steve does a lot of work too. So
of course,
not only Michael, I think both
of them did. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a village to get this process done. So.
Yeah. And Linda helped too. So don't think she didn't.
Yeah, Linda helped. Yeah. Shout out to Linda too. Yeah. Hey, Linda.
Yes.
I have a question on the retirement pension plan. It's about 95% funded, you said, Spencer?
Yeah,
the city portion.
Yeah, our city yeah. plan is not
yeah.
not
now the close. Now the re-
yeah now the, not the state yeah, not
PERS,
the state no, PERS and PERS. Hmm.
But the restricted for defined benefit is almost 10 million, and restricted for defined contribution is about 5 million. How many employees are still in the system that are undefined on benefit pension, you know?
On the city's plan?
Yeah.
I don't have my reports in front of me. Pretty much anybody that was hired before 2012 was a defined benefit. Anybody else access defined contribution? I think the last count, Deepmar, was maybe 100. About now.
Are there more on defined benefit pension or defined contribution pension right now on the?
It's pretty even.
Is it 50-50? Yeah.
But that's including retirees. The number you gave, Mike. So that's the combination of active employees and retirees that are defined benefit.
Oh, okay.
Is 100.
Okay.
As far as the active,
so there's more there.
Yeah, as far as the active employees go. That are working for us now, it's a substantially smaller number. I think we're down to about 30 or something. Or does that sound about right, Mike?
Better on defined.
Yeah.
Okay. Better on defined benefit, you mean?
Correct. Everyone else that's covered by our own city pension is on defined contribution. So the vast majority of our current employees are on defined contribution.
And there's no retirees yet in the defined contribution side.
Well, actually, no, we have had retirees, but we're paying every dollar that goes in there, we're paying up front, and then it accumulates the earnings, and then when they leave, they take that with them. So there's no liability for the city that's generated like there is in a defined benefit. So
they take a lump sum contribution then when they leave.
They all do.
Yep.
Oh, they all do. Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, is that everything? Any questions for Tanya? At least we got a little speedier report this time. The pandemic didn't hold it up forever.
Yeah, totally agree.
Do you want me to do the single audit now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So anytime that an entity spends over $750,000 of federal funds, and that's not receiving the federal funds during that period, it's actually spending the federal funds during that period. So that's why it's called the Schedule of Expenditures of Federal Awards. So the city spent during the fiscal year ending June 30, 2021, so from July 1st, 2020 through June 30, 2021, the city spent $828,017. And that was based off of, like, some was from the Department of Administrative Services, some was coronavirus relief funds, one was the Hazardous Mitigation Grants Project. Then for the Federal Aviation Administration, excuse me, for the airport, they had three grants that they had there that totaled up to be $462,000. So the FAA portion was the what we call a major program. So that's the stuff that we spent a significant amount of time looking at the compliance with that grant agreement for the Federal Aviation Administration. And so we did have a finding on the federal awards for question costs. And that was in the Airport Improvement Program, which were those three programs. Essentially, it came down to the condition was that the amount reported on the CFA was not adequately supported and listed under the wrong grant agreement, which then had different applications and compliance requirements. And so the concern there is not... if you don't know which grant the fund is coming under, then it might have different compliance requirements, and which is what happened is there were some different compliance requirements based off of timing that reports needed to be done, as well as like there was a matching portion and so things like that. So that's where that finding came from. And then we also had a financial statement finding, and that was for proper oversight and review procedures, and controls should be established to ensure the amounts recorded in the accounting detailed records are accurate and adequately supported. There were some errors on documents. So the schedule of expenditures of federal awards had some errors. Then there were a few other lead sheets that also had some errors on it. And so the combination of those, we felt like there was a finding. So we had those two findings.
Okay. And later in on our agenda, we have the response by the staff report for corrective action. So we'll go over that later. Okay. So that concludes your presentation then, Tanya?
On those items, yes.
Okay. The next item on agenda is finance report on audit. I'm not clear about what that is. Is that a report by the finance department, or is that just...
That's a category of the next three items, 4A, 4B, 4C. So that's just a category name.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, I didn't turn the page. I didn't turn my page over. Okay, I feel better now. I was like, what? Okay, then who's going to go through the staff report for the corrective?
Yes, I get to do that, Glenda.
Mike?
Pardon?
I get to go through that one.
Okay, I wasn't sure if Mike was going to do it or Steve was going to do it. Okay.
Well, nope, I was going to do that.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I guess we're ready.
Okay, are you ready? You're kind of fidgeting around.
I'm ready.
Okay. As Tanya has remarked earlier, we had some issues with our long-term debt, PERS, and fiduciary funds. And, you know, this really type of finding is the first for the city and also for myself. It says we have a lack of oversight and controls over year-end supporting documentation. Oversight and controls help. Well, a lot of this stuff was done in a flash, and I would probably get interrupted. So a lot of it could be on me. But I've had this happen to me in the past, and you know, so I hate to say this, Tony, but the communication was terrible. And that's why I say there was no great communication or collaboration on this particular report. So, I was kind of disappointed in that. So anyway, we understand the errors. We'll fix them going forward. I'm not there, but I'm going to help Steve where I can if I have to get these things right. I mean, it's just one of those. We live and learn. We'll go forward on it. Now, the airport program, we understand there's a lot of communication issues there. A lot of misunderstanding on our part of what was going on. It's basically the CEPA, I agree with Tanya, they were looking at two different grants, two different reporting requirements. We'll communicate better with Lance to make sure we understand what's going on. And also a lot of it too, we saw it was had to do with the three grants, but you know, one of them, if we had just broke it out when he came to us, I can't remember if it was September or October, we just missed one thing. And I've shown Linda and Steve what to think about when this particular aspect happened. We should have done a budget adjustment. And if we'd have done a budget adjustment, we would have seen right away that we had three different grants to deal with. As I said, we learned with that one going forward, they'll just communicate better. They know what to look for. CEPA is not an easy thing to learn. Sometimes you're really looking for the data and you just can't find it. And then the auditor comes to you with this stuff and you go, holy crap, what's that? So, I've had that happen to me, so it's really weird. They see it, they get these confirms we don't see, which is good for them. But Linda and them know what to look for going forward on that. So, and then regarding the over expenditures in the parks fund, the street fund, the debt service, that one always pains us when that happens. Water fund and the city facilities. It's one of those, Steve did a couple of accruals, pulled some stuff back. We didn't see it until we looked at it. And then we had a misclassification. And then the one for the debt service was increased loan fees. So we can fix that going forward. We did have the water fund. That was another one. They bought stuff at the end of the year. They bought all the chemicals right at the end of the year. Should have waited 2 weeks. It's just one of those timing issues. So the city facility fund, that's another accrual that we pulled it back. Steve was out there doing his job, counting the numbers, and found one extra over there in this year. So he pulled it back, put us over. And then the last one, we did have a deficient budgetary basis fund balance. I know Spencer and that drives us nuts, but this is one that has to do with the property taxes. We think we're going to get this much. Well, we didn't get $3,600 worth, and so it put us over. So, that is what it is. You guys have any questions?
No. Some of this has to do with not managing to get the budget adjusted right at the end of the year. Isn't that, it's that kind of stuff. Is
Linda,
really.
The FAA one, that one really came to us the last time at last week, June. That's when we discovered we need to do a budget adjustment. And then, the accruals that Steve did had to be done. But, by the time he found them, they were like August. It's too late. We can't do anything about last year. It's close. It's history. So, I always say in my report, we strive to stay on top of the budget.
It's really hard at June 30th to manage everything right as of June 30th. I know. It's really hard.
It's tough.
I have a question. Dietmar and I are both on the airport committee. And I for one, am concerned. I hear a lot of criticism from citizens about the amount of support the subsidy the city has to give to the airport. And I don't know if better communication from the airport to the finance department would make a difference. Is there any remediation to be done on this? I'm not sure if this is the time to talk about it, but I'm just bringing this up because I'm trying to understand it and it's bothersome to me.
Well, Cynthia, on this particular aspect, we fell into a trap. Lance and us both heard FAA said we could do it this way because we were taking money from one project, playing for another project. The other project didn't start funding until July of, I think, this current year. So we fell into that trap. We weren't all thinking. Now, and then they brought it to me in, I don't remember what it was, June, and we all went, oh, crap, we need to do a budget adjustment too late. And that's basically, I don't know if you want to call that miscommunication. I'd say we misunderstood what to do at the time. But I just kind of look at it as kind of a miscommunication. Lance is saying one thing, we're thinking another thing. We just need to, I don't know if we can mediate that or read it. I don't remember if she said remediation or mediate it or what. But
Or fix it so it doesn't occur again.
It's like I said.
It's going to.
I talked to staff and said, look for this from now on, and that'll give you the key what you need to do. So,
looking at the report of the airport fund,
mm-hmm.
which is on page 116 of the bound copy, the airport fund, it only lost $233,000. I mean, that's a drop in the bucket compared to the rec center. I mean, why should people be upset about the airport when it's the rec center that is sucking wind, so to speak?
Well, now you're getting into the fine details, Miss Glenda.
Beyond the point of.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the issue that Councillor Jacoby is bringing up has been a political issue as long as the city's existed. There's people that have a different opinion about the airport and the role the city should be playing in it. But from a policy standpoint, the city has made decisions to operate an airport just like we operate a visual arts center and a rec center and a library and all these things that cost money. Airports are not pretty rare that airports are self-supporting, especially small rural community airports, and you're either providing the service or you aren't, and in our historic case, we've decided to, as a city, provide an airport as part of our services, and so I think that debate will be here long after everyone in this picture is gone. Some of these things don't go away, like how do you address the housing issue? I was looking back at minutes from the 1970s, and housing was a huge problem in the 70s, and housing is a huge problem 50 years later as well. So some of these things are going to be continual debates, and policymakers will make policy decisions on how to go forward with that. I think the issue that we talked about as part of the audit was more of a technical issue with the federal grants and how we had appropriated the funds for that. And so that's kind of a it happened to be the airport, but it's a separate issue from the obligation of the general taxpayers to support the airport. So,
true. Now, the corrective action plan is worded as if we are going to. Do we need to make a motion and approve the action plan, and then refer it to City Council? Is that the process we're supposed to be going through here?
Yeah, we're looking for a recommendation to submit to council.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion to approve the corrective action plan by either Cynthia or Dietmar.
Well, I have a question yet, Michael.
Oh.
On the corrective action plan, what is it that what's going to be different between finance and airport or finance and other committees to make sure this doesn't happen again? How are you going to resolve that?
I told staff that when Lance comes in and says anything about a budget or anything about a shift of funds, that's going to alarm them to, that's got to be a budget adjustment. So anytime he starts doing that, because I don't remember what the whole gist of the conversation was. It's been over a year or so ago. But I sort of remember that conversation. It came in and said, well, the FAA is okay with that. And I probably asked my eyeballs and some other projects and said, okay, that sounds good. So that's all. If anything like that, that's got to alarm them and say budget adjustment. And, but, you know, if they don't tell us anything, then sure, we'll have another issue. But,
yeah.
Does the airport autonomous? I mean, do they come to you for advice when they put in for grants and apply for grants and things like that?
That's, usually they talk to Mr. Spencer about that.
Yeah.
Where's the breakdown, Spencer?
Yeah, well, in this particular case, Linda was just telling me this was in June. Linda was on vacation for the month of June. This change occurred, and Linda would be the one that would pick that up, but she wasn't physically here. And so the timing of that.
So I saw it when I got back.
Yeah, so she saw it when she got back, which was after the new fiscal year had started. Anyway, I think
Linda can't go on vacation anymore.
Not in June. So
not the last 2 weeks of June. Yeah.
So I think it's something that's a workable thing. The good news is we have a number of federal grants at the airport that are funding improvements there. So that's a positive thing. But when we get multiple grants, it's pretty easy to get things a little confused. Yeah. And the FAA is shifting money from one grant to the other, and so it was just kind of a convoluted mess when Linda was on vacation and there wasn't time to fix it after it got discovered.
It was actually the same project.
Oh, same project, okay.
Same project, different phases.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say, is they were different grants. They were all under the same basically funding source, but they were all different grants. And so that makes it even more confusing, because if it's all under the same like program number, so if you look at the schedule of expenditures of federal awards, it's like 20.106. Like, they're all under that same one. It's just there's multiple phases to those projects. And so that makes it really, that's where it starts getting a little bit confusing. I don't think none of it was intentional. It just happened. So, you know, it's just unfortunate. It's much easier when they're separate grants and they're under different numbers. But when you start having them all coming from the same source, and they're like, the checks are coming from the same place too, it just makes it really hard to keep them separated.
Are these grants going to be ongoing through the end of June of 22 also, or is it complete within this fiscal year?
They're going to be around a while, Glenda.
Your mic on.
Yeah, one will be, the large one will be complete this year, but there's multiple grants coming for the same project with just different phases of the same project that might be additional grants.
So anyway, get it moving. I'll move to accept the corrective action plan dated March 7, 2022, and have it forwarded on to council for their review and comment.
Thank you. Sylvia, are you seconding that?
I will second that.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Would it be possible, and I don't have no idea, to have implement something of like a progress report or some kind of report required, since this seems to happen with the airport, that rather than waiting for June 30th, that on June 1st, that they would file some type of report, status report, so everybody'd have a heads up. It would. I don't know if that's practical or not.
Well, yeah, Linda, why don't you describe what you do with capital projects? And I think this issue really kind of fell into just a weird time period that we didn't have the support, because we don't have a lot of depth. And when someone's out of the picture,
right.
You know, we're kind of flying solo, and it gets critical at certain, the only real critical time that this could happen is when it did happen. So, but yeah, Linda, why don't you describe your role in that process?
Well, I typically draw down, I work with Grant, Lance, and I draw the money down from the FAA. And so I'm monitoring all the expenditures of the airport. In this specific situation, I wasn't there to review the accounts payable until after the fact. And so that's how all this slipped through, that it was actually paid out of phase one versus phase two funds. But I have been working very closely with Lance, and so I try to, and he's been very good about copying me on stuff and keeping me in the loop. But one of the things I am doing also is I'm communicating directly with the consultant so we can make sure the finances just have that second layer of oversight.
Thank you.
Okay.
No more vacations for Linda. No more vacations for Linda.
Yeah, that period around June 30th is critical. Okay. I think we'll go to the letters from Marina and Company. Tanya?
If it's okay, I'll probably do them together just because they're very repetitive. If that it'll speed things up a little bit.
That's fine.
So there were no restrictions placed on our audit and no significant difficulties incurred during the course of audit. There were also no disagreements with management. No new accounting policies adopted or changed from the policies previously adopted. The only real change was the name change from the comprehensive annual financial report to the annual comprehensive financial report for the city. So that means if you look at the June 30, 2021 financial statements and compare them to the June 30, 2020 financial statements, you're comparing apples to apples. So they're comparative. There's none of those new government accounting standard boards where they throw a big wrench in the pipe and like have everything change. There's none of those for those years. There are some accounting estimates in the city's financial statements, not in the urban renewal, but for the city, those estimates include depreciation. So we don't know exactly how long like a police car is gonna last. I always pick on the police, but like I love the police, don't get me wrong, but like sometimes they might have it for a week and sometimes they have it for 10 years. It just depends on, you know, who's driving it and what's going on. So you just don't know how long a vehicle is going to last. So depreciation is an estimate in the financial statement. Compensated absences payable, so vacation payable. It's accrued at what the employee's current rate is and what their current salary is. So they may not take that vacation for another year, and they might have a cost of living increase or might have a salary increase. So that's an estimate. It's based off of what their current pay rate is as of June 30, 2021. The largest estimate on the city's financial statements is the net pension liability. That is coming from an actuary. That is not something that city staff calculates themselves. So it's based off of what the actuaries use for their science life expectancies, all of that kind of stuff. The other one that's on the financial statements is the net other post-employment health care benefits, so OPEB, and that is the difference between so it's essentially the individuals that are eligible or have retired but are not eligible for Medicaid and Medicare yet, and so there's this little bit of a gap in between the two, like when people retire and when they actually can go on Medicare and Medicaid. And so what happens is they have an opportunity to purchase their health care insurance through the city still if they retired with the city. And what that does is it brings up the rate, like the cost of everybody in the plan a little bit. And so there's this estimated amount for those individuals that are in that little category right there. And so that's the OPEB amount. That is also being calculated by an actuary. That is not something that the city staff comes up with that calculation. So those are the largest, or those are the estimates in the city's financial statement. We didn't find any transactions entered into by the city or the agency during the year that lacked authoritative guidance. So there wasn't anything that was really outside of the norm. There were no material misstatements noted for proper presentation in the financial statements. And in some cases, management may decide to consult with other accountants or get a second opinion, and there was no such consultation that we are aware of. So that's the gist. Those are the high-level pieces that are in those AUC 260 letters. So those are the letters to those charged with governance that they used to be called like management letters or something like that. Now they're called AUC 260 letters to those charged with governance.
Okay. And the change in accounting principle, an estimate of $816,000, that is in the footnotes. That's the amount that's called prior period adjustment, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So it wasn't really a change in accounting principle, is it? It's really changes. It's a correction of an error, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what it is. Correction of an error.
I just thought the terminology was a little self-serving.
Yeah.
Okay, moving.
That was for the water situation. So.
Okay. Thank you, Tanya. Thank you for everything.
Yeah. And we really appreciated working with all of city staff, and appreciate serving you. Thank you. We understand that we are doing a pivot and we're moving away from auditing services.
Yes.
And obviously, had we known that when we bid, we would not have bid on your project. But this was a recent, like as of November of 2021, that we made this decision. So we essentially said we don't want busy season. For those of you that have done auditing before, Glenda, you can appreciate that.
It's been 20 years.
But you can still appreciate busy season. Like when you work a ridiculous amount of hours during a very compressed short period of time. And so we are shifting away from financial statement audits and doing more of the advisory or consulting services. We're staying in the government arena. We're just not going to be doing financial statement audits.
You're a chicken.
I want my life back.
Thank you very much. And now we're at the presentation assignments for the council work session.
Glenda, I think that Tanya could probably leave at this point, so we.
Yeah,
can...
I was gonna say, I'm sure that she doesn't want to hang in while we fight over who's gonna give what presentation to council.
Well, have a great day, you guys. And
thank
I will
you.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Okay, so here we are, and do we have a. No note of who got what last year.
I did urban renewal last year, Glenda, and I'll do it again this year.
Okay, and I always do the audit report and the balance sheet and the income statement. Or
don't you talk about the opinion too?
What?
Don't you talk about the opinion?
That's what I said. The audit report.
Oh, that's okay.
That's the opinion.
Okay.
Yes. Who's going to do the MD&A and then footnotes? Are you going to be there? Thank you, dear.
I'll zoom in.
This is Steve ready for having to do it a year from now?
Hey, he may win the lottery. You never know.
There is that.
So please.
That's all we have.
Yeah.
What did you do last year?
You know, I truthfully do not remember the name of it.
I think you did debt. I think you did debt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's part of the notes.
It's part of the footnotes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spencer, I think I did part of the debt last year, if I recall.
Someone did debt. That was one of the two. And I'm trying to remember, Mike, do you remember? You don't have your allocation?
Not with me, no. Heck no. I didn't bring a whole bunch with me, Spencer. Linda, you don't have that by chance?
I was going to print it out, but I ran out of time.
I just do the top part. I don't like to get buried in those footnotes.
Yeah, I know. I think Linda did, or Cynthia did. She either did the debt or the fixed asset. I can't remember which one.
Who did the couple projects?
She did the fixed assets. I think she did the fixed assets.
I did fixed assets, and Martin did debt. Correct.
And we try to totally ignore the umpty dozen pages about the pension liability because if you really want to understand the pension liability, you got to read the whole footnote yourself. And even after that, you won't understand it.
Yeah. True.
Are you calling us dummies, Linda?
No, I'm just saying. No one understands liability. okay, are we ready for a week from Monday then? Isn't it a week from Monday? Yeah, it's March the 7th we're doing this, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it's work session, so is that at 4 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Week from Monday, huh? It's the 7th. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that means it.
Yep. That's what I have on my calendar.
Okay.
So, Michael, can you share your email address and telephone number?
Sure. Okay. If you want it.
Can you send that out? Because I might have some questions. Yeah.
Do you still have our email addresses? Are they on a computer that's at the city of Newport?
I don't know where now. No, Linda. Linda has the information. I always went to her for the information.
Okay.
So I didn't keep that, so I'll have to ask her to send me the stuff. But yeah, my email's simple, so I'll send it out. I'll get Linda to send me the stuff, and I'll send you my email addresses.
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay.
I will send out a note that breaks down all the assignments for the presentation to everyone also. And then I didn't know if Jan wanted to present anything on this round or wait till the next one or...
Because
he's an alternate.
Yeah, I'd prefer to wait just because I'm new to all of this.
Yeah, I understand. It takes a while.
You can do urban renewal if you want, Jan. I can back off.
if you write out the script for me, I'd be glad to read it.
Yeah, we'll give you a break for a year.
Okay.
Are there any public comments?
Oh wait, I have one question, Glenda.
Okay.
So my section would be page 172.
Oh, I got to open up my financials again.
It's Newport. It says capital by function.
She's
doing fixed assets, isn't she?
Okay, so
fixed,
what? So
fixed
where
assets,
is it?
Yeah.
It's capital assets is where I...
Going to be on page
42 and 43, capital assets.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, I keep using terminology for commercial entities rather than governmental entities. So when I say balance sheet, you know, that means in governmental terminology, that's a statement of net position, and income statement is statement of activities. And what we would call fixed assets in government, we call them capital assets. So, okay.
Righty then.
All right, then any other committee comments?
Just a question. We have to make a decision on proceeding with an auditing company because
yeah.
we don't have an auditor in place. And I'm not sure. I know our city attorney has been reviewing and has requested some information on the Albany.
Yeah.
You know that now? Okay.
Jump in, Mike, and explain to the again about riding on the shirt tails of another city audit. I don't know what, I can't remember what we call that.
Piggyback. I'm going to let Linda talk that one through.
So I've been doing some research on different cities that could have cooperative agreements, language, so we could piggyback on their contract. However, I found out this morning the city of Albany doesn't have that language in the current contract. Wow. They had it in previous years. I'm in touch with the city of Garden Grove, and they're going to be sending me their contract to look at. And they are with Bolt Carlisle. And I've also talked with the city of Newburgh, and I'm waiting to hear back from them to see if they have
the city of Newburgh. Is Newburgh also a Bolt Carlisle client?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Because frankly, I was not very impressed with the names of the other firms available.
I do have also information from Marion County. However, their auditors are quite pricey, I've been told by several people. So,
oh God, we don't need that. Being from a big four firm, I don't think money should be the object. I mean, I understand we want to save money, but you get what you pay for some, you know. So, but I like Carlisle, and they're an established firm. We've had them before. They know us. I would rather piggyback off of a city who's contracting with Bolt Carlisle.
The problem
that would be my opinion.
What's the alternative, Spencer?
It's a good question. I mean, the only other thing we potentially could do is go through a RFP process, but we're really running very,
very short.
Yep.
We don't have time to do that.
So what if we can't find anybody that's willing to piggyback us?
Well, I think Glenda could come out of retirement. And
No way, Jose. You realize I'm working on 80. I'm going to be 80 in November. I ain't coming out of retirement.
Can you imagine her being your auditor?
But no, we're going to have to try to find one of these things that can work for us, because we are in a bind with our current auditors closing up shop for governmental audits. And what that means too is there's a number of other communities that are in the same boat that we are. And there's a limited number of municipal auditors that are out there. We're going to work this angle. If that doesn't work, we will try to figure out what we can do.
Yeah, I did talk with the director for Garden Grove, and he told me that he had spoken with Brad from Bolt Carlisle, and they are very understaffed, and they're trying to get six auditors contracted to use, and they barely have enough staff to do their current clients. So he said good luck trying to get them to take us back. Yeah, so we'll have to depend on Mike's relationship with Brad.
I'm going to say it, you guys. We should never have left them.
Yeah, hindsight's good, but we didn't know that they were going to, this company was going to just
stop
doing audits.
I have no confidence in any of those other firms, that little firms that I saw the names of, and one of them I know, and I don't want anything to do with them. And if we go to a big four, you're going to double, at least double your fee.
You sure probably not triple more. It? You not three what? Times? You sure not three times?
Yeah, well, yeah, more what? Like, yeah.
Yeah. Probably. I remember Moss Adams.
And they're not a big four. They're.
I know.
So, okay. Spencer, if Bolt Carlisle says, no, we're not going to take on any new clients, we're up the creek, you know, with the
we're going to have to go out for bid. I don't know how else we'll
no
have
paddle,
to.
Yeah.
You'll have to. Yeah.
Yep. So that's going to be, we're going to try to exhaust that option here in the near future. And if that happens, then I think we're going to have to go out for RFPs and hopefully someone responds. Yeah. But again, you know, we're the audit cycle begins in, you know, really June oftentimes, in May, yes.
April, they're scheduled.
Actually, yeah. In May yeah. For a June 30. Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens if we can't find somebody and we don't do an audit?
I think
you have to do an audit.
I know. Yeah, you have to. But somebody's got to do it, right?
It will be late.
Yeah.
And it'll be way more expensive, I bet, because we're not going with one of these firms that doesn't know what they're doing.
And I know that if I were an auditor.
We get to the CAFR stage. We're in the CAFR stage. We're not going backwards here, guys.
Yeah, if I were an auditor and I was in their position and I knew Newport wasn't where they are, I would probably escalate my fees because they're in the driver's seat, not the city.
Yep. No, that's the case. So anyway, we will hopefully have some more information certainly by the March 7th meeting. On the pathway that we're going, so
hopefully Bolt will come forward. But it doesn't sound real good, does it, Linda?
Well, the one thing about Bolt Carlisle is they do know us, and they've audited us before. They've only missed 2 year ends, so they know what what our accounts are like.
Yeah.
So they have a inside. It wouldn't be for them like starting a brand new client. Which
no, I understand.
More.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, okay. I'm gonna adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. Thanks, yeah. Mike.
Bye, bye.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
See ya.
Okay. Do you know what the adjustment that Glenda was talking about is? Oh, okay. Oh, they treated those as adjustments to previous? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
I talked to the director of Garden Grove.